Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. Sarah enjoying a nice vacation. Lots of time on her bike this week, I think. In the studio with me this morning, the honorable, the right Reverend Dr. John Sias, Secretary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he just willingly stumbles into my cubicle occasionally, and then I ask questions like, "Hey, can we talk about this? You know the biblical languages like Greek and Hebrew."
So, yeah, and occasionally I get free books, you know, so that makes a visit very worthwhile.
How are you, sir?
Doing all right. How are you doing this morning?
Good. I bet you're busy. Convention season. You've got a lot of work as a secretary, right?
Hey, we keep it moving. We keep it moving. Keep those nominations coming in.
That's what I was going to say. What's on the plate right now for convention season?
We've got nominations rolling in. We're helping districts get through all their conventions, which take place this year. And we've been hopping up there.
Hopping. Yes, you are a busy man. Hey, I have this nifty jar of random questions. You want to pick one out?
I see that here.
I've been waiting to try this, and when Sarah and I are both in studio, we're both talking over each other, so we never get a chance.
This isn't a stump the secretary hour.
No, it's what is this one today?
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate or vanilla?
I am a vanilla guy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Actually, if I had the choice, it would be salty or buttery, but...
Yeah. Aha.
Vanilla. Vanilla's good. My wife's a chocolate person.
In our household, it's, let's see, I'm usually more on the side of chocolate. Our son he's only four, so he doesn't really appreciate chocolate yet. It's too bitter for him. My wife and I are probably more chocolate, or she'll go more for the fruity flavors, so.
Yeah, give me a good pie any day.
But this has nothing to do with coffee, because you can't put any of those flavors in coffee, right?
That's right. Straight up. That black, would be black matches my shirt.
Adulterous. All right. So we came across a new translation. Our friends at Northwestern Publishing House sent us a copy of a new translation, the Evangelical Heritage Version. This is fairly new. From some of our friends, I believe, in Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the ELS and the WELS,
That's right. Yeah, it's always a very exciting thing to have a new Bible translation and to look at all the choices folks have made. This is actually kind of a grassroots project, as I understand it. Pretty broad group of 100 or more, I think mostly Wisconsin Synod members, pastors, lay people, teachers, professors that have gotten together to do this. And I had a lot of fun looking at what they've done.
you know, you're talking with someone who enjoys studying the scriptures, who knows the languages when they say, "I had a lot of fun looking into this." What do you look for when you look at a new translation? I mean, there are many translations of the Bible. I mean, you go to BibleGateway.com and there are just hundreds sometimes, on what languages you're looking at.
And people have tried to categorize them. If you were going to have a zoo of all the different Bible translations, what goes in what house? The preface to this work, it really talked about how this is an eclectic approach. They tried to do what makes sense in each particular passage of the scripture, which is kind of interesting. Some Bibles aim to be, extremely literal. Mm-hmm. The King James is one of those. If you know your Greek and your Hebrew, you can practically look at the English and guess what the Greek or the Hebrew is underneath it. They're so rigorous in the use of the same word. And I enjoy that, because then you can kind of detect those connections between far-flung pieces of the scripture and confidently say, he's maybe commenting on what's going on here in this other book, and you know the same words are used.
I sometimes use Young's literal translation. Is that
similar?
Dangerous?
Yeah, well, no, it's a similar approach, and maybe even more so than the King James, a more rigid, almost slavish, I might say, adherence to the structure of the sentences and so on.
I'll use that like in a parallel setting where I'll have multiple translations running next to one another, see what this translation says in comparison to this translation.
And it can be very literal, but it doesn't read very well because, English just does not work like Greek or like Hebrew, certainly. It's completely backwards. But then there's the other side that says, well, we should make it as readable as possible and maybe sacrifice some of the literal nature of it. So The New International Version, which we've used for many years before coming to ESV, which is more literal, you know, it was a pretty free translation in places, aiming to have something that would convey the meaning, but in modern terms. And there you look at it, and you may be able to tell what that passage is saying, but you've got a hard time lining up that passage with other parts of the scripture or with kind of how mechanically the biblical author and the Holy Spirit wanted that thing to work.
I sometimes use, when I'm looking for readability, I'll use God's Word.
Oh,
are you familiar with that? God's Word
absolutely.
Translation. You know, because I think it was, targeting like that 5th through 8th grade reading level, maybe? So I'll use that because that's about what level I read at. So.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, you know, and that's even more free than
really?
The NIV. And the freer one gets, the more careful you have to be that there hasn't been a little bit of editorializing on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the editor's, he's sure he knows what this means, so he's going to tell you, but maybe it's not quite what the text has to say.
It's my understanding that when that translation translates concept for concept rather than word for word.
I think that'd be a fair way to put it.
So what do you look for then, you know, when you get this new translation you've never seen before, what are you looking at?
Well, everybody kind of has their passages they go to, and I, you know, I use the ESV most of the time, and so there are a few things that kind of stick in my craw, you know, and so I first raced to see what this Bible did with them, and in some cases did something really, really nice. In some cases, kind of did the same old thing. So, but you know, that's every Bible's going to have its pluses or minuses. One of the neat things I think they did was they tried to achieve a balance of traditional usage or you know, a very literal usage in key places. And a freer translation places where it made more sense. And one of those is Jesus here, instead of saying truly, truly all the time in the Gospel of John, he says, amen, amen,
amen,
which is really the word. And I think that, you know, gives us such a great connection to the word we use all the time in our prayers and liturgies. You know, that's a word that expresses truth, foundation.
Right.
You know, this is certain. Yes, yes, it shall be so. So that's kind of neat. You know, the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth in the Hebrew, you know, ESV, I think, does Lord of hosts usually with it. NIV did Sovereign Lord, which had a certain theological bent to it. They use Lord of armies in here, which is really what the words mean.
Yeah.
You know, the hosts of heaven, the angelic armies.
Now, where were you looking at? Is that in the Psalms?
Because
we just have the New Testament and Psalms so far.
Yeah. They got the Psalms in the back there. So it's kind of neat, those choices they've made.
Yeah.
To convey some of those things that are kind of key topics in the scriptures, and you can pick it out and say, oh, yeah, there's an amen. You know, we'll see more of those. You know, Psalm 8 was an interesting one, I thought.
All right, let's take a look.
You know, everybody goes to Psalm 23, and they did a pretty normal, straight-up translation of Psalm 23. You don't want to mess with that too much. You know, people kind of know it, but it's not quite the King James.
What about Psalm 8?
Psalm 8, in verse 5 here, it's you know, it's a psalm that's about the Son of Man, about Jesus. The book of Hebrews uses it of his time of humiliation and says, following kind of the Greek text, you know, you've made him a little lower than the angels, or for a little while lower than the angels. And in verse 5 here, they've said this, nevertheless, you make him suffer need apart from God for a while. And that's a fine translation of the Hebrew. It's a little bit nuanced, but they actually follow Luther there. That was his suggestion.
Oh, really?
And it's neat to see a little bit of that Lutheran heritage in here.
Apart from God for a while.
Yeah, you know, you really see, I mean, it very vividly picks out our Lord's suffering on the cross, the cry of dereliction, you know, the my God, why have you forsaken me? So even though that differed from the text that's in Hebrews, which for me is an interesting thing, I thought, boy, that really would help people make that connection.
Yeah. Well, we have just about a minute left. What makes a new translation useful? We talked earlier about the fact that there are many translations, especially just in English alone, there are many translations.
Yeah.
What why have a new translation? What makes it useful in your eyes?
I think it's just exciting to see another approach to the scriptures. It's almost a living conversation with the translators. When you pick up one of these books, you can benefit from their theological knowledge and from connections in the scriptures that you may not have seen that caused them to translate it the way they did. So, A great read.
Check it out. They have it's on the Northwestern Publishing website, and I believe they have their own website. We'll post a link with that. MPH.net is the website for Northwestern Publishing House.
There you go.
Check out the Evangelical Heritage Version. We've got the EHV, the ESV.
I know we're about out of letters.
I know. So
start going to numbers here soon.
We'll have to check it out. And they also are on they're on BibleGateway.com now as well.
Oh, really?
So you can
see them side by side.
Right. So you can look at it parallel with another translation or parallel with the Greek even.
Fantastic.
Which is kind of fun if you're so inclined. I know enough Greek to be dangerous, not to be helpful. Thank you, Dr. Tyus. Always appreciate our conversations. Insightful. Thanks for being on the Coffee Hour.
Very good.
Well, that does it for today. More great topics in the Coffee Hour tomorrow. You're listening to KFUO. Christ for you anytime, anywhere. The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.